Now, as I mentioned earlier in the show yesterday, it was my great privilege to host an event for the Sunflower Fund as it announced its new identity as DKMS Africa yesterday. The amalgamation means that our once small little South African NGO is now part of a global network of donor databases, exponentially improving patients' chances of finding a match. You probably have all followed the story of the Sunflower Fund, as I have, since it was established in 1999 as a donor recruitment body for stem cell transplantation. That process, you probably know, is often the only hope of survival for patients with life-threatening blood diseases like leukemia and sickle cell disease. And this is a big, big moment in their development. And to talk to us about the huge significance of yesterday's announcement, I'm delighted to welcome Alanna James, who is now the Executive Country Manager for DKMS Africa, as well as Dr. Andrew McDonald, who is a clinical hematologist with a broad interest in blood disorders and their treatment, who'll be able to answer any medical type questions you may want to put to us. So let me first say, Andrew, thanks. We'll be with you in a couple of minutes for the medical sort of questions, but thank you so much for being part of the conversation today.
Thank you, Pepper, and good afternoon.
And thank you, Alanna, for having me as part of the celebration yesterday. It was such a joy to be there to witness the big moment, and congratulations to you on the team on getting to this milestone, which is really going to anchor the future of the Sunflower Fund, or to give you your correct name now, DKMS Africa. Welcome to the show, first of all. And secondly, won't you just tell our listeners a little bit about the sort of development of this partnership with DKMS and what it's already achieved in the past year?
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Pippa. Thank you for celebrating with us yesterday, and thank you for having us back on your show. It's sure. been an incredible experience and journey with you and your listeners. So the biggest news, I think, for us is this amazing access and services and support we can not just continue to bring to patients, but we can actually amplify all the work we've been doing over the last few years. So the partnership started at the beginning of last year when we became the Sunflower Fund partnered by DKMS. And that partnership took place just a few short weeks before lockdown. Mm. And it was really so critical to see how all these challenges, how we've leant on this friendship and this partnership and this really sort of family community of supporting patients through the DKMS entities across the globe, we still managed such amazing successes. We recruited over 9,000 South Africans who clicked a link to register as a stem cell donor in the height of our pandemic. So that for me is probably one of the biggest successes we can talk about. And the fact that we found some patient donor matches also during our lockdown and managed with the support of our international entities, our Department of Health in South Africa, we managed to get patients to transplant during this biggest crisis that we've ever experienced as an organization, but, you know, the global challenges face. So we've seen the value of this partnership, and we're able to recruit more donors than we've ever imagined would be possible.
Alanna, more donors, more numbers on the database. Let's talk about why that is so important, particularly for us in this wonderful melting pot of cultures that South Africa is. This is the one situation where our rainbow nation status actually counts against us, because you need to find somebody who's got the same sort of genetic background as you. And Alanna, ours is a weird and wonderful puzzle, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. I mean, the chances of finding a match, you know, globally they say it's 1 in 100,000 if you have a diagnosis and you're looking for a match. About a quarter of the population who are lucky enough to have siblings may find a match in one of their siblings. For everyone else, they have to find an unrelated donor. When we recruit a donor, it's not a blood match. It's not a blood group match between you, the donor, and the patient. It's a genetic match. So the more diverse a culture is, the more difficult it is to find that match. So we believe the statistics for our rainbow nation, or our melting pot, as you call it, is actually sitting closer to 1 in 400,000 in finding that match. Wow. So absolutely, as you said it, we need to increase that number of donors dramatically, but it can't just be numbers. It has to be huge amounts of donors that are committed to following through on the process, that understand that they're here to save the life of a patient anywhere in the world, and most importantly, that we recruit as many donors from diverse backgrounds as possible, well, from diverse genetic or ethnic backgrounds. And that is the only thing that would save the lives of our incredible Rainbow Nation patients that we are seeing every day.
Yesterday, we heard the remarkable story of a young South African woman, Zayan, who found a match in a total stranger on the other side of the world in Poland. And Alana, this demonstrates why this partnership with DKMS is so significant. By becoming part of this global network, can you give our listeners a sense of how much wider the net has been cast for us? I mean, just talk to us about the scale of DKMS.
Sure. So when you're searching for a donor, firstly, we search globally for every patient. But even if you're lucky enough to find a match globally, often it is so expensive that you can't continue with an international donor. With the partnership and the expanse of that network of DKMS, we're able to facilitate donors of our full DKMS family registry, which makes it so much more affordable and efficient, so that a South African patient actually stands a chance of being able to see an international donor through should there be no local donor available. And to give you an idea of the scale of the DKMS family that we're now a part of, last year we celebrated with them as they celebrated their 10 millionth donor. So they have more than 10 million donors on their registries. They have entities in six other countries, well, now seven with South Africa, and are on five continents. And over their history of just 30 years, they've managed to facilitate more than 90,000 patient donor matches. So that's part of the family that we've now become.
So it's a very large family, which we're very happy to be joining hands with. You're listening to Alana James, who is now the Executive Country Director for DKMS Africa, as the Sunflower Fund will be known henceforth. Talking about the big picture of what this partnership means. To help us understand a little bit more of the ins and outs of the process of stem cell donation itself and what it means to be a donor and a recipient, let me bring back into the conversation Dr. Andrew McDonald, who is a clinical hematologist who specializes in blood disorders. Andrew, Alana mentioned the stats about the chance of finding a donor, but let's talk about the stats of the chances of needing one. How common are blood disorders, particularly in South Africa?
Well, I mean, Papa, blood disorders that don't need transplant are actually relatively uncommon. But if you develop the disease, then and you do need a transplant, obviously, then you are the 100% chance that you have. So yeah, it's very variable. So for an individual on a global scale, the numbers are quite small. As you've heard, 90,000 donors in 30 years, it's not a lot of donors. But for a person who needs a transplant, they're the one who needs a transplant. That's 100%.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, that's the only perspective that matters. So when we talk about needing a donor, Alana's already referenced the fact that it's not a blood group match, which I think is one of the misperceptions a lot of people have. When we talk about a match, can you expand a bit? What are we actually looking to match?
So we're looking at the immune system of a person, and that has many components. But what we are testing is something called HLA, or human leukocyte antigen. So that's a very technical term, but it just really means that there are a number of bits in the body that we can test, that we can match for. Most patients or most people we are trying to match to a 8 out of 8 or 10 out of 10 match, but it can get much more involved than that. So there are a number of what we call antigens that we're testing for, and essentially, ideally, we want a 10 out of 10 match.
Okay, now if you find a 10 out of 10 match, let's talk about what's involved for the donor as well as for the recipient. What would a stem cell transplant operation involve?
So that's the first misconception. It's not an operation.
Okay.
So in terms of the recipient, the person who's receiving the transplant, what we usually do is high-dose chemotherapy or radiotherapy. The details may vary slightly. And essentially, we are, via that mechanism, killing off the person's bone marrow. Now, your bone marrow is your factory inside the bones that is actually making your blood. So you can't live without blood, so you need to replace that bone marrow. So for some types of transplants, then you need a donor to be able to do that, which is where the donor comes in. Once you've been identified and that you are a match and you have been cleared, there's a full medical process to ensure that you are fit and suitable to be able to donate to somebody. So you actually get, in a way, a free full medical examination. And then following that, we give the donor 5 days of a drug called Neupogen or granulocyte colony-stimulating factor, which essentially just pushes the blood cells up. So in the old days, we used to take people to theater and harvest marrow, which is suck out marrow. But 99% of donations now are essentially done through a blood machine, which essentially, if people have seen someone on dialysis, the machine looks very, very similar. That blood flows out of a vein into the machine and back into the person. And we were essentially harvesting a very, very small percentage of a donor's stem cells. And we end up with what looks like a bag of blood that then gets taken to the person getting the transplant, who then gets it like a blood transfusion. So actually, for the donor involved, the risks and the time and the problems involved are actually really minimal. The person getting the transplant has a much heavier road ahead of them.
Sure.
But for being a donor, you know, once you've been identified and you are the person, the process is actually, it becomes a very minimal risk and cost to the donor.
Okay, speaking of cost, let me just bring Alana back in at this point, because this is one of the frequent questions and things that people worry about. Alana, the cost of being a stem cell donor, is that carried by the recipient, by the donor, by an organization like DKMS? How does it work?
So on the registration process, for every swab that we have to test to put somebody on the registry, that cost is definitely not borne by the donor. So we would cover all that cost, and we've done it through years through our fundraising and our now the support with DKMS. So when you register, there is no cost to you at all. Should you be selected to become a donor for a patient, again, most of those costs will be covered by the patient or by their medical aid, and where the patient does not have the resources to do so, as the Sunflower Fund, we would then cover those costs through the fundraising that we do to help the patient get to transplant, but at no cost to the donor in any way.
Okay, that's very good news indeed. Andrew, let's come back to you. Somebody is asking just for a little bit more clarity on what it is they are donating within. It's not the same as a blood donation, although the process you've just described is to some extent a little bit like one on a longer scale. Do you harvest something else to get the cells they want is the question, because the comment is, if it's painless and quick, I would do it any time.
Yeah, so look, what we're harvesting is stem cells. So there's a huge hype, and there's a lot of data out in the community about stem cells. Essentially, stem cells are cells in your body that are able to, what we call, self-renew, so that make more copies of themselves, and then they are able to generate further cells that actually make up our whole body. Our body is made up of trillions of cells. Mm-hmm. So those stem cells are what keep us going. And essentially, each organ or system has its own stem cells, and we're harvesting bone marrow stem cells. And because bone marrow and blood are obviously the same system, we, in the old days, as I noted, we used to go directly to the bone marrow, but now we're able to get it out of the blood. It's actually a very easy process after 5 days of the injections, and when the white cell count elevates or goes up slightly, we're able to take those stem cells out of the blood. So it's a little bit more complicated than a routine blood transfusion, but in essentially the same process.
And Andrew, are there any side effects to those drugs that you're on for 5 days to boost and stimulate the cell production?
So, yes, I mean, I said relatively painless. Yeah. There can be a little bit of bone pain associated with that, which we can manage with simple painkillers. And if you've got good veins, then we're able to access the veins through the arm. If you don't, there might be a need for a small catheter under some, which is placed under local anesthetic.
Okay. But
essentially, after the donation, which we're really admitted to say is essentially usually takes about 4 hours and usually takes about 1 day. Occasionally a second day is required. So, you know, the amount of time required from a donor, there obviously is some time and some input from them needed, but actually really minimal in the greater scheme of things.
Absolutely. To know that you're saving a life, to give 1 day of your time for that is I think, something that most people, I would hope, would be willing to do. Now, Andrew, there are some people who aren't able to be stem cell donors. I know because I'm one of them, and I've tried to get myself onto the registry, and in my case, it was to do with the particular medication I take. Can you expand a little bit for us on who can and can't be a donor?
So the easy answers are that if you are if you've had previous cancer or had chemotherapy or radiotherapy for cancer, you would not be suitable to be a donor. If you're old, we prefer actually younger donors for many reasons. But if you're old, again, and that's usually in the range. I mean, each registry has their different targets or cutoffs. But usually above 50 to 60 range, you would not be suitable. And then if you've had other infectious diseases, which obviously in South Africa is a problem,
mm-hmm.
But those people who are living with chronic infectious diseases, HIV would be one, hepatitis B or C would be another. So those are in contraindications to becoming putting yourself onto a registry. And then from there onwards, actually, it's if you've had other serious illnesses. Now, a lot of people think that diabetes is a serious illness or chronic problem, but we have managed to harvest people with diabetes occasionally with high blood pressure, again, is a common problem. That would not stop us from being able to harvest someone or them being able to donate for us.
Andrew, someone specifically asking on the WhatsApp whether an anemic person can be a stem cell donor.
So, again, it depends. Anemia has many causes. If you are anemic due to iron deficiency, that can be corrected and you can become a stem cell donor. If your cause of anemia is due to something else, we would obviously need to work out why that was happening, and then from there being able to assess whether you would be a potential donor.
Before we let you go, Andrew, is there anything I haven't asked you which I should have asked you that you think is important for our audience to know about the process involved?
Yeah, no, so just to say that transplant and has saved the lives of many people. There obviously are some people who don't make it, their disease comes back or complications arise from transplant. But for many people, the transplant is the final and only method of cure. That may change in the future, but for the moment, we're sitting with there are many people who need transplants who never get there for various reasons. And this is just another very important step in increasing the availability of transplant to people who need it.
Dr. Andrew McDonald, clinical hematologist, thank you so much for being part of the conversation today. I'm going to wrap up with Alanna James, the Executive Country Director for DKMS Africa. Alanna, Andrew's given us a very good broad picture of the sort of medical processes involved. He mentioned that different age ranges apply, etc., to each registry. Won't you just remind us what the preferred age range for donors is in South Africa?
Sure, between the ages of 18 and 55, and you will stay on the registry until you turn 60.
Okay, so you stay on even if you pass the age of 55. So you must register before 55, but could potentially be considered a donor until 60. The other thing one or two people are asking about is contact between donors and recipients. And I think they heard me mention Zayan's story yesterday and how lovely it was to be able to watch the moment where she met the Polish donor who saved her life. Not everybody gets that opportunity. You're quite strict around managing that process, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. So there are global standards with regards to the sharing of information. So post-transplant, there is an opportunity for the donor and the patient to write to each other anonymously through the registry. Mm-hmm. So we will share that. And at the current moment, it's 2 years post-transplant, where should the donor and the patient be willing, and obviously approved by their physician, we would then do an introduction between the donor and the patient.
Thank you for that. Alana, anything else you would like our listeners to know before we say goodbye?
I think just to highlight that it's so easy to register as a donor. And even the process that Andrew shared, how easy it is to go through the donation process. And you could save the life of someone. It's the most phenomenal thing. So if you are between the ages of 18 and 55 in good health and committed to saving the life of another human being, please visit our website and register as a stem cell donor and make a difference to someone today.
And that website is now dkms-africa.org. Is that correct?
Correct.
Alana, congratulations once again to you and your team on this absolutely momentous milestone that is so significant for patients in South Africa who are waiting in hope. Always lovely to have you part of the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Alana James of formerly the Sunflower Fund, now DKMS Africa, part of an international network with more than 10.5 million people registered as potential donors. If you would like to do so, if you have questions that weren't answered today, please do visit that website, dkms-africa.org.